on forgiveness. I hope you all remember that. And we've shared quite extensively on forgiveness, what it means to forgive, the consequence of not forgiving, and what the Almighty God says about forgiveness. And the bottom line of it is that if anybody has offended you and you are bearing a grudge against that person, please turn that fellow into a prayer point. Begin to pray for that individual and ask God to forgive him and ask God to heal you. As much as possible, do not bear a grudge. Amen. And as much as possible, do not harbor bitterness inside of you. God will hold you responsible. Irrespective of what has been done, God will hold you responsible. Why? Because you too, you offend God, and God forgives you. You too, you offend other people, and they have not killed you. So you have no right to hold somebody and say, this one will be only settled the quarrel when we get to heaven. The fellow who says that will not get to heaven. This morning, we are going to continue with the series on Think Like Jesus. We want to look at how to handle injustice. This is one thing that creates a lot of bitterness. And this is one aspect of our experiences in life that makes us bitter and angry. Particularly when we feel that we have been cheated, or we have been treated unfairly, or we have been handled with injustice, we get very offended and we become very bitter. And some people are so bitter to the extent that they want to revenge. And some people, because the person who offended them is so big, they cannot revenge, they will try and find a way to revenge on his children. And some carry this anger and this vengeance from generation to generation. Now there is a way that the Almighty God has taught us that we are to handle injustice. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. How should a Christian handle cheating, injustice, oppression? How do you handle a situation that you did business with someone and the fellow absconded with all the money? How do you handle a situation in which you introduced a business idea, a vision idea to someone, and the person stole your ideas and went to use it for himself? How do you handle a situation in which you are coming from the village to Lagos and you had to live with an uncle or a relative and the person started treating you like you are dead because, as far as he's concerned, you are inconveniencing him? And you went through a lot of pains and a lot of anguish, but you have nowhere else to go. How should a Christian handle that? When he is fired from an office for doing nothing wrong, simply because people are playing politics in the workplace. It's not that he's not doing his work. He's doing his work well. But somebody just doesn't like his face. Maybe he's an Igbo man in the midst of Yoruba people. Or he's a Yoruba man in the midst of Igbo people. Or he's a Yoruba man who is faced with the politics of the Hausas. And then they ill-treated him and they cheated him. And he's a child of God. Now the conventional thing that we are being taught in the church is that you should begin to call down fire and brimstone upon all your enemies and begin to send arrows after them and begin to command them to fall down and die. Now is that what Jesus Christ said we should do? We need to be very careful. Matthew chapter 5. We start reading from verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, you see, the interesting thing is, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy is in the Bible. Are you following along with me? It is in the Bible. So if you want to justify loving your neighbor and hating your enemy, you will open the Bible and say, see, it is written in the Bible. But you see, it is written in the Old Testament. And you are a New Testament saint. So you are a totally different person. Your relationship with God is totally different from the relationship of the Old Testament saint. What God expects from you is different from what God expected from David, from Abraham, from Moses, from Joshua. You are a new creation. You have a new set of law. Now verse 44, Jesus now says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I'm sure each one of us, if as you ask us to start telling our experiences in life, we will not live here today. If we have to start relating what people have done for us, some, it is our parents that treated us unfairly. For some, it is our siblings. For some, it is our relatives. For some people, it's even in the church that you experienced it. For some, it's in the place of work. But you see, we need to have the right understanding and be able to understand why God permits somebody to treat us unfairly. Because the first thing you must notice is this. John chapter 3 verse 27 says, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Please listen to it again. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from where? Yes. From heaven. Oftentimes when Christians quote that Bible verse, they tie it to blessings. They forget that a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven, includes a slap. Nobody can slap you unless God says, go and slap him. Are you following along with me? When we were coming in the car this morning, my son asked me a question about all those creatures, those awful creatures that were described in Revelation. And I referred him to Proverbs chapter 16 verse 4, where the Bible says, God has made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of trouble. God created the good man. God created the evil man. God created the archangel Michael and the archangel Gabriel. God created Lucifer the devil. God created all those demons. They are all the work of God's hands. Every one of us. Are you following along with me? On the day God is happy, God wants to do something good in your life. Of course, God is always happy. So you need to understand what I'm saying by that. On the day God wants to do good to someone, there is a good person that he will send. On the day a man has done something that deserves punishment, there is an evil person God will send. He doesn't have to look, they are all there. On the day God wants to teach you a lesson, he will arrange for you to meet a very difficult person. On the day God wants to control your excesses, God will send you to someone who will teach you a lesson you didn't learn from home. Are you following along with me? If God talks to you and God teaches you a lesson and you refuse to learn that lesson from God, you will still learn that lesson, but now you will learn it from your enemy. That's why some lessons are very painful. Look through your life. the lessons that you learned that formed your character, that helped make you what you are today, you learned them because you suffered. Man really learns everything when everything around him is okay. Many of you learned how to save and to be careful with money because you got so broke, you were living on 5 naira in a month. So that the day you now receive 5,000, you know this 5,000 that I have in my hand must last me 6 months. Before, that 5,000, it will go in 5 seconds. But because you suffered, you learned something. Are you following along with me? The first lesson you must learn, you must have at the back of your mind, is that whenever crisis comes up in your life, crisis means things are not working the way that you expect. Crisis means you are not getting what you need as of the time that you need it. Crisis means somebody is cheating you and oppressing you. Have this first lesson. There is a change about to come in your life. You know, when you are going on the road is not always straight. Are you following along with me? There are right turns, there are left turns, there are curves, there are upward movement, and there are downward movement on the road. So it is with life. There are times when your life has to take a sharp curve to the right. But it's our problem with this, we don't like turning. We just want everything to go straight, smooth, no crisis. God didn't design anybody's life like that. He didn't design your life like that. There are points in your life that you are going to turn. There are points in your life in which you are meant to stop. There are points in your life in which you are meant to go down. There are points when you are meant to go up. That is how life is designed by God. I was sharing with someone during the week about the seasons of life. The season, you know, there are 4 seasons. Here in Africa, we only have 2, dry season and rainy season, right? And even during the rainy season, you can still go about with your t-shirt, right? That's why the black man is not developing. Because there is no reason for him to. He has no challenges. But the white man, he will go through summer. Then the sun will be shining, everything will be warm. Then suddenly the leaves will start dropping. And the weather will start going, and he enters autumn. Then from autumn, he enters into winter. And then from winter, then things begin to get warm again, he enters into spring. And then from spring, it goes back into summer. Are you following along with me? There are the seasons of life. That is how your own life too is arranged by God. There are seasons. Maybe right now you are in winter, but don't worry, your summer is coming. It will come. Are you playing along with me? But how you handle your winter is what will determine how you will enjoy your summer. Because the white man goes on vacation in summer. He doesn't work in summer. That's when he goes on vacation. He works in winter. The light will not blink. We lived in Germany for over 5 years. Only once there was blackout because there was a major explosion at the substation. Happened around 4 a.m. Before 6, it was rectified. Before 6 a.m., those who were sleeping did not know anything happened to light. I knew because I was awake, I was praying. So I knew when light went. Are you going along with me? For over 5 years. Why? Because the white man knows if anything happens to the light, he's dead. He can't heat his house anymore. There are millions of people to feed. His system must keep running because he knows winter is coming. So if anybody steals one kobo in the government treasury, everybody will collectively descend on him. Then he wants to kill all of us. Because winter will come. Are you following along with me?
Yes, sir.
Here, somebody will steal 10 billion naira. For the rest of us, it's just life as usual. Because you can get to the back of your house and pluck purple and eat. You can pluck mango anywhere and eat. If there is no place to sleep, you lie down under the bridge, you will sleep. You wake up in the morning, Okada people, they don't have a house, they sleep on top of their motorcycle. Are you following along with me? Try that in winter. Even don't even get to winter, try it in autumn. Even in summer. Summer, only once I tried it, I took a bath in summer with cold water. In Germany, only once. It was summer, the sun was hot. I felt so hot. Let me take a bath with cold water. I didn't make that mistake again. Talk less of, you not use cold water to take a bath in winter. So the heater must always be working. Are you playing along with me? So there are seasons of life. There are times when your life will be in winter, in which nothing is working. At that particular moment, God is teaching you some lessons. Unfortunately, many of us, we don't understand. We only grumble throughout. You only complain throughout. You never ask yourself, Almighty God, what are you telling me in this situation? Almighty God, what are you teaching me in this situation? Are you playing along with me? Probably everything around you is not working and you are in Lagos. And yet, inside of you, you keep getting the conviction, leave Lagos. Leave Lagos. Why? God is shutting every door, every tap that can give you any supply in Lagos. He has shut everything. Because as of that point in your life, you are meant to take another turn and move out. But we refuse to move. More than half the people living in Lagos have no business being in Lagos. Are you following along with me? They have no business being here. But they are here, they are suffering, they are tired, they are frustrated, they refuse to go. And every one of them, 20 million people, they sweat at the same time. That's why the city is so hot. You need to understand exactly what God wants you to do. Every crisis in your life comes with a message attached with it. So the fellow that you are seeing that is afflicting you, the fellow that you see that, in quotes, is attacking you, is actually God's messenger giving you a message. Now, if you don't see the fellow as a messenger, you will see him as the problem. He can never be the problem because God is your solution. Is somebody playing along with me? Now, the danger is this. If God teaches you a lesson by fire and by suffering, and the fellow does not learn that lesson, but yet he went through the suffering, he has suffered in vain. He will still suffer again. As a child of God, the first thing that you should do when things go round around you is you should go on your knees and lift your face to God and say, Almighty God, what are you telling me? He's telling you something. In the book of Lamentation, God, the word of God says, God does not willingly afflict the sons of men. God doesn't. He's too merciful. He doesn't want to see us suffer. But you see, we are so stubborn. We are so rebellious. We are so disobedient. We will not do what he wants. So at times he has to knock, knock, knock. And some people will prefer to die than to change. And they will die cursing. And they will go to hell. Every crisis in your life is a turning point. Somebody follow along with me. Whether it is in your office that they are afflicting you, whether it is in your home that they are afflicting you, whether it is in your church that they are afflicting you, every crisis is a turning point. It has a message attached to it. When the crisis comes, go to God and ask him, why am I going through this? He will tell you. He says so. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3. Say, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Don't don't waste your suffering so that you do not suffer in vain. There is nobody who has not suffered. Go and ask all those people that you consider successful today. They will tell you there was a point in their life that they had to take a decision. That was the point. Whether the man used to do business, he used to work in an office, and then they were beginning to harass him there and persecute him there, and then he resigned. And because he resigned, he had nothing to do. He had to go into a small business. It is that small business that I started that time ago that has given me all this. In fact, I am now thanking all those people who are fighting me in that office. Because if they didn't fight me, I would still be there as a clerk. Go and ask them. There are people who are about to leave Lagos because everything just failed, and the guy packed his way and said, "I don't tire. I go back to my village." And he got to the village, it's thought that he's a superstar there. In Lagos, nobody knows him. In his village, he knows that they don't have this, they don't have this, they don't have this, but they need it now. All these are the things we get in Lagos now. Oh boy, I will go to Lagos and buy this thing and come and be selling this in the village. Naira is Naira in Lagos and in the village. So the kind of house he cannot live in Lagos, that's where he's living now. The kind of food he cannot eat, that is what he's eating now. The kind of money he cannot control in Lagos, that's what he's controlling now. Why? Because he moved. And he moved because the landlord took all his loads and threw it out on a rainy day. And he cursed the landlord. Said, "God, go punish this man. God, go." When he got to the village and things started to work out for him, say, "Ah, thank God for that landlord. If not, he said, throw my things out." Is somebody playing along with me? How do you handle injustice? You must first and foremost understand that every crisis that comes up into your life is a turning point. It is meant to take you to the next level in your life. See, the Bible says that before any dead leaf can fall from a tree, Almighty God knows about it. If God does not say that leaf should fall, it will not fall. Jesus says, even the hairs on your head, they are what? They are counted. No, they are not numbered. Check your Bible. Sorry, they are numbered. They are not. Which one did the Bible say? They are numbered. They are numbered, not counted. They are numbered. Thank you. It's numbered. Numbered means you attach number to each strand of hair. All the ones on your head. So God knows which strand of hair on your head is number one. He knows which one is number two. He knows number 1,000. He knows number 1,005. So if somebody plucks one out, God will say specifically, they have plucked that hair number 2,057. If he goes to that extent, then he knows every single thing about your life. So nobody can walk up to you and slap your face except God says, go and slap his face. I want to see his reaction. Nobody can cheat you except God says, go and cheat him. I want to see his reaction. They've been teaching him some things in that place that he has been going. Let's see how much he has learned. Are you playing along with me? Because for all these things you are learning here, you are going to be tested. God will test you, see how much you are learning. And how well you learn will determine how fast you will progress with him. That's the first thing. Number two, whenever you are cheated and you are pushed out of what belongs to you, God is bringing you into a promotion. God, as of that time, wants to bring you into a new and a better position in your life. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Are we there, please?
Yes.
The word of God says, and I read Deuteronomy 6, 23, "And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which is where unto our fathers." Now listen to that statement. He brought us what? Out, that he might bring us in. Life is basically about coming out and going in. You come out of the primary school so that you can go into the secondary school. You come out of the secondary school so you can go into the university. You come out of the university so you can go into NYSC. You come out of NYSC so that you can go into a paid employment. You come out of company A so that you can enter into company B. Are you going along with me? It's all about coming out and going in. You come out of poverty that you might enter into prosperity. And yet some people come out of prosperity that they might enter into poverty. It's all about coming out and going in. Now, God is not interested about where you are coming out from, because as of that time, he has finished his program for your life at that place. Your life, our life is arranged in phases. One phase finishes, another phase starts. One phase finishes, another phase starts. And at the time when you had the phase of primary school, then phase of secondary school, and then the phase of university, then you have a phase of working, then you enter the phase of marriage. And then you now in marriage, you enter the phase of giving back to children. Then even that, you enter the stage of sending them to school. Then eventually you get to the stage of sending them away in marriage. And then you enter a stage, that is, it's all in phases. When one phase finishes, another phase starts. The problem with many of us is that in our lives, we just want to remain in one phase. You have been living in Abuja for the past 10 years. As far as we are concerned, you must die in Abuja. You have been living in Lagos for 20 years. As far as we are concerned, everything must end in Lagos. No, God didn't design it that way. There are phases. There are people that will live and die in Lagos. It may not be you. Now, God is not interested in where he's taking you out from. For example, it was God who took the children of Israel into Egypt. Yeah? Then at a point, God brought them what? Out of Egypt, that he might bring them into the promised land. Now, when God finished their phase in Egypt, he's no longer interested with Egypt anymore. That has become history in their lives. What is important to God now is where you are going to next. Now, not one thing about God. God can bring you into a place peacefully, and yet he can take you out with crisis. Oftentimes, we think that because we enter into it peacefully, we must come out peacefully. It doesn't work out that way. That is why you must learn how to handle injustice. Because that injustice could be God's mechanism of bringing you out of that phase so that you can enter into the next phase. So if you stay and you keep on brooding over that injustice, you miss the next phase. And everything is determined by time. By time. Once the time passes, that phase is lost. I pray you will not miss your timing. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, every movement in your life is in and out. So please, I want to appeal to you, as a child of God, avoid struggling. Avoid striving with people. Avoid, I'm not going to let the man go. Now my money, the man is still now. But let him go. He cannot cheat you. Your source is God. Nobody can cheat you. As a matter of fact, if somebody cheats you 10 naira, you should be happy, because the fellow has provoked God to give you 1,000. Remember what we learned while we are doing forgiveness. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. God is watching. That's why you must make sure that your hands are clean. You must make sure that your heart is pure. You must make sure that you are not the offender. Once you do everything that you are supposed to do, leave the rest for God. Nobody can oppress you. You must have that consciousness. You must have that confidence. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Probably what you are going right now is a training. Some of us, we love ourselves so much, we believe that we can never do anything wrong. And God wants to teach you maybe obedience. There are some that God wants to teach tolerance. I remember the story of a lady who went to the university. This lady was finicky. When you say somebody is finicky, everything about her must be neat and tidy. She does not like, and she's born again, to the point that she became intolerant. She can't stand you if you're untidy. She can't stand you if you are not clean. Everything must be in place. So God has been watching her. So the next session in the university, God gave her, arranged for her to get a roommate. That roommate is the exact opposite of finicky. She's so dirty. She's so disorganized. She's the kind of person who will eat. When she finishes eating the plate, she just throws it under the bed. Fiam, and she goes. When it is time for her to eat again, she reaches out from under the bed, pulls out the plate, looks for a toilet roll, wipes the plate. She's ready to eat. This roommate does not lay the bed. She sleeps, the bed is, that's how she will sleep again. She doesn't care. But this other lady, even if she sits down on the bed for 2 seconds and she gets up, she will tidy it again. Everything must be prim and neat. But you see, there's one nice thing about this other lady who is very untidy. She loves clean bed. So by the time this finicky lady lays the bed and tidies it, and she comes in like this, she sees the clean bed, she bombs, pose. And then when she gets up. This lady nearly went mad. The neat lady. Almighty God, send her out of this room. Father, God did not remove her. Until she learned, you understand, that it is good to be neat, but it is even better still to be tolerant, because all of us cannot be the same. So at times God brings you with people like that, and you say, God, my life will be complete if only you just kill this man. God, I will be so happy the day I escape this man. No. That man is doing something in your life. There is something inside of you that must be broken. Are you following along with me? If you do not know, you will start cursing him and you will miss the move of God. Now, very quickly, let's look at one very good example in the scriptures. Isaac, Genesis chapter 26. In the next few minutes, let's look at the story of Isaac. How do you handle injustice? Let's see how Isaac handled it. It's a story we all read so much, but the only part that we normally quote is Isaac sowed in famine. Isn't that so? And in that same year, he reaped 100-fold. So they use that to tell you when they are teaching you prosperity message, that it is when you don't have that you must give. That like Isaac didn't have, Isaac sowed, and then he reaped. And most of them have sown, they reap nothing. Because they sowed the letter, they didn't sow the spirit of Isaac. Now, who was Isaac? Let's quickly look at some Bible verses. Let's go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 15. Genesis chapter 26, verse 15. Are we there, please?
Yes.
For all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. His inheritance. His father's well. Now, this was in the desert. The worst thing you can do to a man in the desert is to deny him water. Whoever owns a well in the desert is the richest man. Now, Abraham handed over a well to Isaac. The Philistines went there and they poured dirt inside the well until it was full. And Isaac just looked at them. Isaac turned away. Go to the next verse. Verse 16. After they did that, And Abimelech, that's the king of the Philistines, sent unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. They drove him out again. Isaac turned his back, packed his load, and left peacefully. He didn't answer them. Then he moved on. Go to verse 17. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them with earth. The one that they blocked, he went to unplug it and cleaned it. And after he did, and Isaac's servants, verse 19 now, digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. They found water again. The headman of Gerar did strive with Isaac segment, saying, the water is ours, and he called the name of the well Esek, because they stroke with him. Even the one that he himself now did, they said, it's not your water, it's our own. So he left it for them. He moved on. Are you still along with me? Go to verse 21. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. He digged another one. They came again. They said, it's not your water. It is our water. He called it Sitna. He left it. He moved away. Are you flowing along with me? See, it's like you started a business. Your father handed a business over to you. Somebody comes, your uncle comes, and says, no, now the family business. Now relatives start up. And you left the business, and you moved away. And then you started another business somewhere. Your partner that you started business with, that one said, no. Now me employ you, say, make you come. Well, not be saying we'll be a partner for where. And you left the business and you walked away. And then you started another one and trouble came there and you left it and you walked away. No, by that time, people will start saying you are under a curse. But you say that's a generation curse, that everything the man they touch like this, now so then they take her from behind. They confuse people so much. That's why Christians are no longer tolerant. That's why Christians can no longer endure. Because they've used all these messages to confuse us, and we believe that we must always fight. It's not the spirit of Christ. Isaac walked away. Then he now planted the next, he now did the next one. That one, even the people who were fighting with him were too ashamed to come. So they left him alone. He now called that one Rehoboth. So you see Rehoboth business, Abby. You see Rehoboth garden, Rehoboth account, Rehoboth this. Do you ever see Sitna? Have you ever seen Esek business? Hey, Christians won't talk about that one. They don't want that one. Before the guy got to Rehoboth, he passed through Esek, he passed through Sitna. It was when he now got that God now said, ah, haba, leave him alone. That's why the man can now sow 100 years, Abi, during famine, and God gave him 100 food, because God has to repay him. You flown along with me. All the while Isaac was going through all this, God did not say, pim. God just kept quiet, he was watching. It was after verse 24, after he had gone through Esek, had gone through Sitna, they had deported him and chased him away. They insulted him, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, that father, fear not. He passed his test. Somebody flown along with me. I pray you will pass your own.
Amen.
Are you flown along with me? How to handle injustice? Please, it will come. People will take you for a ride. Don't try to prove that you are right. Just do what Isaac did, walk away. You say it is your own, no problem. That business is not my source. God is my source. God has called me to peace. You want it? Take it. Let's close by looking at 1 Peter. Very quickly, the one that we read today. 1 Peter chapter 4. Is somebody learning something, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 1 Peter. Let's first back up to chapter 2. We read from verse 19 very quickly. Chapter 2, we read from verse 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if you do well and suffer, and then you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Are you getting the point? It's not that you are the one who offended you. You did nothing wrong. And then they are now treating you unjustly. You now take it patiently. That one, God accepts that one. He will repay you. And it is at that point that many of us will miss our blessing. Because every experience is a turning point. Before you promote a child in school, won't you write an exam for him? Are you following along with me? That crisis in your life is your examination. That examination is meant to lead to your promotion, depending on how you handle it. What God is telling you this morning is that you must be patient. Don't fight for yourself. If they cheat you, as we have seen in the case of Isaac, let them cheat you. They are cheating themselves. It's just a matter of time. You will see that it is that teaching that is actually the step that lifted you up. I mean, you saw what happened to Joseph now. You remember the story of Joseph? Well, he was being cheated now. Did he fight anybody? You saw what happened to Jesus Christ now. He was being cheated now. Did he fight anybody? Now you see what happens. Everyone who slapped the face of Jesus has to kneel down before him for eternity. Not for 1 year, not for 2 years, for eternity. That's the kind of spirit that God has called us to exhibit as Christians. Not all this gra-gra, I must do my own back. I will not agree. They think I'm a fool. They don't think Christianity is a fool. For the mere fact that you said that, you're already a fool as far as God is concerned. Let them cheat you. They are cheating themselves. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, from verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but to rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, then when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in another man's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
If you are being treated unfairly, God says, don't worry. Just take it patiently. Just make sure you are not a thief. You are not a busybody. You are not an evildoer. If you are now being punished and you take it as a Christian, there is a spirit of glory waiting for you. Now you know what glory means now. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That was how Jesus Christ handled his own. And that is how Jesus Christ has called you to handle your own. So I don't know what you are going through now. I don't know who is afflicting you now. I don't know who is cheating you now. But I want you to bow your head and talk to the Almighty God. Concerning every situation in your life that is contrary, and you have reacted negatively against the word of God, I want you to ask God to forgive you. That is because you didn't know that from now on, you will respond the way a Christian is meant to respond. You will handle every situation according to the word of God, with patience, with submission, trusting God to fight for you, trusting God to defend you, trusting God to